to reserve a table, 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
We are back at Schneider Stadium on the Shaw, 101.1 FM and 540 AM. Don?
Okay. So Linnett will kick off again. For Wheaton. Keon Miller back to receive for the Pios. 13 seconds left in the quarter. And that's Winnett. Excuse me, Josh Winnett. Here's the boot. And it's back deep. And Miller will take it at the one. Runs from his right to his left. Trying to get around some tab. Really nowhere to go. He does get to the 16 again and well covered by the Thunder and Luca Torti and Colin Moore in on that tackle.
Boy, you'd love to see Miller break one of these weeks, wouldn't you?
You sure would. And, you know, where he caught it at the two, you'd almost kind of let him let that bounce and take the touchback.
Yeah.
So 6 seconds left. Legs is back in the game on Raby's left. Single receivers both sides. Ball in the left hash here. Raby waiting the snap here. And here it comes. And he's going to hand it off to Legs here. Goes to his left, cuts in, and he gets some positive yardage there to about the 19. So he could call it a 3-yard gain. Make that second and seven. And that'll be the end of the third quarter. And as the teams switch sides here, we'll take another quick 30-second break on the Pioneer Football Radio Network. Calvin, take it away.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bowles.
Welcome back to Schneider Stadium, downtown Donnie Brown with Greg Triple G Juan Schneider. As we start the third quarter, it's going to be second and seven for the Pios from their own 19-yard line, trailing 45-6. And really just, you know, playing for respect here.
Yeah.
Twins left, single receiver right. Mikey Coleman in the game now on Raby's left. Raby looks to the sideline for a call. Taking his time here. And now he's looking to the center, waiting the snap. Here it is. Hands off to Coleman. Coleman not much there. Might have even lost a couple. So, again, that smothering D from the Thunder. So I'd have to give credit to...
Carroll's still got their starting offense out there, you know.
I'll say some new numbers here for Wheaton. Number 64. Wrong team. So, yep, now they're calling it third and eight here. Twins right, single receiver left. Ball in the middle of the field. Movement from the right tackle. Carroll calling for a penalty. Nothing called here. Here's the snap. Raby looks downfield. He's going for Eichstead again on a deep pass. And Eichstead, nope. Again, well covered there by Schwartz. Carroll looking for a penalty, but really not. The ball was wide. Riley Schwartz was there to knock it away, and really not much opportunity there for Eichstead. So the punt unit comes back in.
Peacock back deep for the Thunder.
That's right, going all the way to his 40. So you can expect good field position. Unless Strebler does one of his magic punts. Here's he puts a good leg on. It's going to the left here. And it takes a coffin corner bounce out at the 40 of Wheaton. So Wheaton will have good field position, although it will be in their territory this time. And so There is a flag down as we wait to see what the call is here. And if that goes against Wheaton, they're probably going to push that back. So we got fourth quarter stats here. And Wheaton, total first downs, 18 versus 7 by the Pios. Rushing yards, 28 for 128 yards. Carroll, 2,409. So another unnecessary roughness, another personal foul against the Pios. That's 2 for 30 yards now. Not that it matters much, but now Wheaton, instead of being at their own 41, should be at the, I would guess, the 40, 44 of the Pios. Yep, and that's where the ball will be spotted. And again, not that this is a close gun one, but that's what hurt them against Augie, where three personal fouls for 45 yards.
Well, that's something that coaches hate.
Yep. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive...
So they're calling that, let's see.
This is a special broadcast of the 7th annual Cap Times Idea Fest, which returned to Madison on September 17th, 2023, with leaders from government, business, education, social justice, and culture. Coming out of the tumultuous times of last year, the Idea Fest moderators and guests looked ahead to what the future could look like in Wisconsin. The theme focused on how we reckon with change.
This is Luann Bird, and you're listening to Bird on a Wire, and where we are having conversations about hope, civility, and action.
Events.
Thank you for listening on the Civic Media Network.
I'll present segments of this year's gathering, edited gently for time.
Here
now is Amy Davis with Alliant Energy, speaking online with community leaders about the ongoing challenges of getting food into rural Wisconsin.
Where we have conversations of civility, hope, and action.
Well, welcome everyone. Thank you for joining us. I'm Amy Davis with Alliant Energy, and I'd like to welcome you to the Cap Times Idea Fest panel session entitled
"When You Ran in the Private
Rural Wisconsin Using Innovation, Technology, and Collaboration." Today's discussion will center on new, collaborative, and innovative solutions to provide more choice, access, and fresh food to those in need in rural communities. A tiny round of topic we think for September as it is Hunger Action Month.
Thanks for having me.
We hope each of you today
Quick pass out to the right of the flag. He's got first down yard and pushed out.
We're distributing more food than we've ever done during the pandemic. And I see Patty nodding, and I know a lot of our colleagues all around the United States are seeing that same situation. But for a number, there are 427
able to get the first down yard as they needed.
You know, not just a new arena, but kind of help redevelop downtown. You know, we saw it as something unique. You know, you look at a lot of other
he's done some damage there. Yep. I mean, that last touchdown, you thought it would have been overthrown, but he ran to it. So there's a snap. He's rolling out left. Thorson going to the end zone, looking for Tether. He's looking for another receiver, but overthrows him. Good pressure there on the Pios. Jagger Vine actually on a safety blitz. That was 37. You have to go to the roster for that one. Anthony Pickens, a freshman from Midlothian, Illinois. way down on the south side. I spent a Thanksgiving dinner down there at Midlothian many years ago. 11:05, second and 10. A rare second and 10 for Wheaton here. Twin receivers both sides. Weeks on Thorson's right. Split end goes in motion from right to left, and they go back to him. That's actually Jessica, the tight end, lined up in a split end. But he's got the first down yardage there. He came running in, and then on the snap, he curled out to the right like an out pattern and hit him. And actually, no, he stopped short. The third ball spot at the 9, so it's going to be 3rd and 2. I thought he had first down yardage. So make it 3rd and 2 now. So single receivers both sides, ball on the right hash. Bonga on the wide left side, Titherington on the shorter right side, and Weeks is way back deep. And Thorson under center here. Oh, he's going to hand it off to Titherington, going for 5 touchdowns here. There is a flag down, though. Looks like he has first down yardage, but let's check the flag. I like the design call again. Titherington came in motion from the right to the left, and on the snap under center, Thorson handed it off to him. Weeks was back so far. When you see a tailback that far back from the line, you figure it's going to him. So let's see, holding against the offense. So push them back 10 yards. Pio's finally getting a break here. A
lot of penalties called in this quarter alone.
Yeah, sure. 10:21 left in the game here. So let's see some other... Four touchdowns for Caleb Titherington, his longest 27-yarder. 91 yards receiving. Twins right, single receiver left. Weeks on Thorson's left here. Ball on the left hash. A long 3rd and 9 here. And now time is called, and it's going to be by Wheaton. So, interesting. They will have one timeout after this one, like they need it. But, again, at least it's a good chance for our Carroll defense to get a little rest here and talk things over.
Well, and as you say, Don, you can't take those timeouts with you, right?
You know, you sure can. And even though you do have a commanding lead, it is a good time for some coaching moments. And, you know, coaches at this level are still teachers. And, you know, and as Wheaton prepares for what they hope would be a postseason or the Isthmus Bowl, these are some good opportunities to get some takeaways. You know, I'm kind of reminded of, I'm sure you root for the Badgers in basketball there, Greg.
Yeah,
they were in the Big Ten Championship against Michigan State a few years back, and they had a commanding lead in overtime. And Tom Izzo of Michigan State called timeout with 3 seconds left, and I was like, what are you doing? Like, why? And he gathered his players together, and he just told me, listen. And you could hear all the Badger fans cheering, and he said, like, remember this. And in that year, Izzo and the Spartans went to the Final Four. And so it was just a great coaching moment about, you know, understanding, you know. So anyway, 3rd and 9. Ball on the left hash, single receiver left, Twins right, Weeks on Thorson's left. 9:55 left in the game. Here's a snap. Fakes over the middle. He's got a guy. Titherington again coming back for it. A great diving catch. He was well covered there. Even though they had a mismatch there, I think it was Damon Loker on the coverage. But Titherington, it was a play action there. Thorson didn't really sell it that well, but... make that 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, yeah.
For Caleb Titherington. What a day he's having.
I'd like to know what his record is for
5'10", 173 pounds, a sophomore from Matthews, North Carolina. Reminds me of Freddie Blitnikoff. High snap. Oh, he decides to run it. Piercy, the backup quarterback. He's looking for someone. He's going in the back. He's got a guy caught. And the Thunder get a 2-point conversion there. So the backup quarterback showing his mettle on a high snap. And it looks like a tight end number 47 got the catch here. There is a flag, though. Let's check that. Jonathan Engelbrecht, defensive line, if I've got the number right. Or Griffin Kropp, a tight end, 87. Well, they're bringing him back out. So I don't think, maybe it's an ineligible receiver. So, but Good fun there for the backup quarterback there, Skylar Piercy, a senior from Margate, Florida. So I missed the call on that, Greg. Did you catch the explanation?
I did not. Like I said, it's very hard to hear the refs up here.
As the wind starts to kick in, but our WAUK flag remains pretty static there, not moving at all. I thought the bottom would be flying out. But so Tosca now, excuse me, let me get this name right. Extra point, and even though it's further out, it's good. So Mateo Jesch making it a 52-6 lead with 9:49 left. We will take a quick break here on the Pioneer Football Radio Network. Calvin, take it away, please.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
Welcome back to Schneider Stadium. The lights are on. But unfortunately, the lights are off for the Carroll football program team in terms of their chances for victory today. It's really been a tough second half. In spite of some adversity in the first half, it looked to be pretty promising. It was 7-6 at one point, and then two unanswered touchdowns by Wheaton sent him to the locker room, leading 21-6, which isn't the end of the world. But unfortunately, Carroll has not had an answer for this Wheaton offense, and Pio offense has not been able to move the ball. I don't think they have a single first down here in the half. A short kick this time. Miller gets it. Gets to the 25 and finally brought down a 27. He kind of paused there. I don't understand, but a little extra pushing here after the play finally broken up. Sorry.
Yeah.
I kicked Greg there by accident. No, don't worry. I wasn't trying to. I try to kick Johnny all the time.
Don was letting out his frustration over the Pioneer. Yeah, the thunder is rolling here. Let's see what the Pioneers can do.
Yep, a little better field position for the Pios. Wheaton 6 of 11 on third down conversions versus 0 for 9 on the Pios. Big stat there. Twins right, single receiver left, ball on the left hash. Mikey Coleman. Tight end goes in motion to the right. It's a handoff. Coleman cuts it in down the middle, though. Good decision by Coleman as he gets brought down to the 8-yard line there. So they had Trevor Hancock in motion from the left to the right, and he was a lead blocker going outside, but Coleman decided to cut it in, and he found some good real estate. So the 9-yard gain they're calling it, 2nd and 1 from the 38, 37 of the Pios. They need to get to the 38 to get the first down. So just, it's like 2nd and a half yard here. This would be a good one for like Raby, just take a silent snap and push it forward.
Yeah.
Twins left, single receiver, right, ball in the middle of the field here. Coleman on Raby's left. Here's a snap. It's going to go to Coleman up the middle again. And Coleman looks like some real good contact at the line. He might not have gotten much. Actually, looks like he got enough yardage. It's close. Where the refs are standing, and let's see what the refs decide to do here. They're moving the chains. Yep, first down Pios, and might have gotten a little mercy on that from the refs, but they didn't need much. They needed like a half a yard, and I think Coleman got that before getting knocked back. So
to quote Johnny Dunn, can you hear those chains rattling?
Say the first time we heard it this half. So
yeah,
Twins left, single receiver right. Case on Raby's right. Double tight end. Left. And here's Case now going on the right. Nowhere to go. They sent Hancock in motion to be a lead block, but sniffed out by a bunch of Thunder from Wheaton. Clay Campbell, big part of that, the safety coming in to cause some havoc. Along with number 24, who's in? Clayton Reeves. or maybe it's Max Smith. So second and 11 at the 37 for the Pios. Twins left, single receiver right, tight end wing right. Case on Raby's left, fakes. Raby looks to his left. He's got a receiver in the flat. It's caught. That's Sammy Muth. He gets some good yardage there, about six or seven. He's just short of the 45 of Wheaton, setting up like a third and about four or five. So a good design call there. And this is what we were talking about, just hitting these guys underneath the coverage here.
Yep.
It was 7:20 and counting, and again, trailing 52 and 6. You got to believe it's four down time.
Yep.
So I just say keep hitting, keep nickel and diming these guys. Keep the offense on the field. The Pio offense, that is. Ball in the left hash here of the 43. Third and five for the Pio. Single receiver left. Trevor Hancock, a wing tight end left. Case on Raby's right as they look to the sidelines. Raby awaits the snap. Here it comes. Raby looking to his right. He's going downfield to Sammy Muth. It's caught by Muth. Brought down at the 23. A great catch by Sammy Muth under double coverage there. That was a big play by the Pio offense there. Nice pass. Carson Chow, the backup cornerback, finishing the tackle there. So Chow gives Riley Swartz a well-deserved break.
That may have been Raby's longest pass, longest completed pass of the day.
Very well could have, yeah. So first and 10 Pio, 6:25 and counting at the Wheaton 24. Twins left, single receiver right. Quick pass out in the flat to Jackson Case. He's got some positive yardage. He's close to a first down. Flag is down. There might have been a tackle in the back there by Sammy Muth. I thought he might have got there just in time. It's a close call, but I think it may come back for Carroll. Nice little gain there by Case. And, you know, I think if Muth lets that go, that's still a 3 or 4 yard gain for the Pios, and I'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be marked off from the spot of the foul, which is at the 20. Yep. Sammy Muth gets tagged in. You know, you hate to. I thought he got him from the side, but there, you know, there's really no room for. No room for judgment on that. You know, if you're not hitting the guy up front, the side still counts as a block in the back. So they get moved back to the 31. So it's from the spot of the foul. So first and 15 for the Pios. As the clock winds again, 6:11. Single receivers, both sides. Ball in the left hash. Mikey Coleman now in on Raby's left. Here's the snap. Gives it Coleman on the right. Oh, to Keon Miller in reverse, but there's nowhere to go. And Miller gets tired. He fumbles it, but Raby picks it up. So Pio's now going backwards on this drive. So they bring out the trick play, and Wheaton is not fooled. And as Miller gets tackled, he fumbles the ball, but Raby jumps all over it. So they are all the way back now at the Wheaton 41. So make that second and 15 for the Pios. Maybe longer than that. 5:28 and counting. Twins right, single receiver left. Ball in the left hash of the 41. Coleman on Raby's right. Tight end wing right. That's Breckheimer. Raby looks to the sideline. 5:16 and counting now. 52-6 in favor of Wheaton. Here's a snap. Raby looks to his right, downfield, now comes out of trouble. He's running all right. He's in trouble now. He might get sacked again, and he will. At the Pio's own 41, so Raby couldn't get rid of the ball, and just too much pressure there. You have to credit the Wheaton secondary for great coverage downfield, but there's just a lot of speed on that Wheaton D, even on the D line, because Raby couldn't get out of that.
Yeah.
So as the clock winds, 4:39 and counting, you now have third and 27 here for the Pios. And again, I think you got to think four downs. Like maybe just try to get 20 of these yards back, hit underneath coverage, and try to set yourself up for a more manageable fourth down here. So a single receiver left, double tight, Twins right, and it's going to be a handoff to Coleman, who gets good yardage up the field here, and he gets all the way to the 46. Of Wheaton, so nice looking run there. So that's going to make it. They are going to go for it. 46, 36. It's about 21 or 22 or something like that. They're calling it 4th and 30. I don't think that's the right.
No, that doesn't.
24, 34. Yeah, maybe. So here it is. Single receivers, both sides, double tight end. Coleman and Raby's left. And a timeout is called. I believe that would be by Carroll. So with the game clock going down to 6 seconds, I think Coach Buda decided to let's call timeout and have a chat here, especially with fourth down and lots of yardage to go.
Yeah, how could it be fourth and 30? I'd like
they corrected it. It's fourth and 27.
Fourth and 27.
So, yeah.
Not unlike the Packers. We all remember the fourth and 26 game.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The game that we like to forget.
Was that against the Giants, I think?
I think so, yeah. So, hey, I just need to give a shout-out real quick during this timeout.
Please
to
do.
Carroll lacrosse team.
Women's lacrosse or men's?
Men's lacrosse.
Okay.
I was talking with a player today this week in the breakfast line, and I thought he was a football guy. I said, so what are the keys
sure.
to
hey,
winning
excuse me real
weekend?
Quick here, Greg. We're just going to start here on this 4th and 27. Single receiver left, Twins right, tight end wing right, Coleman and Raby's left here. They need to get to the 23-yard line. Here's a snap from Raby. He's got time. Goes downfield. He's got a guy. Muth. Oh, he had it. It was knocked away at the last second. Number 14 of the Thunder here. Clay Campbell put a good pop on Muth. He couldn't hang on to it. Muth was open, but only for a second as Campbell closed in on him. So Wheaton takes over at downs on downs. At their own 46, and they're already coming out in the field in a different quarterback now for Wheaton. Xavier Jones, the junior from Hendersonville, Tennessee. Twins right, single receiver left. A new tailback in the game, too. And right, flanker goes in motion from the right to the left. It goes the new flanker. He powers up to the middle, and he pushes forward for about 8 or 9 yards there. Clock winding, 3:22 and counting. And that's number 29 here. So go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish your story there, Greg.
Yeah. So anyway, the lacrosse guy goes, I'm not on the football team. I'm a lacrosse guy.
Right.
And I was like, oops, I'm sorry. I'm blind. What can I do? So anyway, shout out to the men's lacrosse team.
Sounds good. Twins right. Tight end right. Trent Gabriel on the quarterback's left. Xavier Jones, number 7. And he goes to the right. He's got first down yardage, but then brought down at the 41. Number 44 of the Piles, Reed Foster on the tackle, the sophomore from McKesney Park, Illinois. Not too terribly far from Wheaton. Clock runs, 2:32 and counting, in a 52-6 blowout at the hands of the Thunder of Wheaton. And now you know why they call them the Thunder.
Yeah.
13th ranked in the country, and they show you why. So, Twins left, no receivers right, tight end right. Gabriel on Xavier Jones's left. 2:08 and counting in the game. Here's a handoff. It's going to go to Gabriel again on the right, and he pushes forward for more positive yardage. 5 or 6 yards here. And Clem was in on the tackle there. As you see Reed Foster come out and a couple other starters there. So clock runs mercifully, 1:40 and counting here. And then it's a classy move by Wheaton, just even with the backups, just to kind of let this clock wind down and take a convincing W back down to Illinois with them. Single receivers both sides, double tight end wings. And it's going to go to Trent Gabriel, now going to the left up the middle. He's got some first down yardage, close to it anyway. And I think that was Reed Foster who stayed in the game, making the tackle there. So Thunder moves the chains again as we come down to the last minute of the game here. First and 10 at the Pios 31. And we see some new players come in, and Xavier Jones, your Wheaton QB.
stay tuned for the post game after.
Yeah. Give you some final stats and maybe a surprise guest. We'll see. So now it's a victory formation with 42 seconds, and Wheaton certainly deserved it. As Xavier Jones takes a knee, they might have time for one more play. Nope, they're doing the hockey lineup. So as we see Coach Buda walk across the field. So a very tough outcome for this promising program on the rise, but they do live to fight another day. Pioneers will go to 4-3. The Thunder of Wheaton advance to 5-1. Next week we'll be down at Kenosha for the Old Musket, I believe, is what they're playing for. Or Carthage College.
Yep.
Carthage Cardinals, I believe.
Yep, big time rival there.
Yeah.
Big time rival.
Yeah. So congrats to Wheaton.
Congrats to Wheaton.
And their coach, Jesse Scott, a 2000 alumnus in his fourth season. That makes his record 24-6. Coach Buda's record goes to 16-11. As we await the final stats here from the Carroll Athletics.
Don, I just think with Carroll, just paying attention to this game, I think it all comes down to communication.
Yeah.
And if I were Coach Buda, I'd be like, hey, guys, you know, we have to communicate.
Yeah.
You know, they've done so well in a lot of games this season, but communication issues seem to plague them.
Sure.
Today.
You know, and a credit to Wheaton's fan base cheering on Thunder as they gather together on their side of the field for a post-game chat. And you see the Pioneers going into the locker room. You know, usually at the end of all of our home games, which have all been Carroll wins, this is our first home loss of the season. There's usually quite a festival atmosphere in the field as families and friends and players gather, but not today. You know, a heartbreaking loss for the Pios. Again, it was a very entertaining first half, and in spite of a lot of adversity, you know, a fumble on the first play leading to a instant Wheaton touchdown three plays later. Pio stay in the fight, and they bring it to 7-6, and then just two unanswered touchdowns towards the end of the second quarter, and Pio's just didn't have an answer. And I don't know if the Pio's won the coin toss and elected to receive, or, but that certainly it didn't help that Wheaton, already the 21-6 lead, gets the ball to start the second half, and you know, get a field goal there in a long sustaining clock eating drive. And Greg, what are your thoughts as I look through the stats here in the fourth quarter or the final stats?
Like I said, I think communication is the key. I think Coach Buda is definitely going to have a talk. I didn't expect for Carroll to come in and jump all over Wheaton. You know, as much as you'd like to think, you know, they're poised, they're ready, but again, Carroll knew what they were dealing with as Wheaton came in. I guess I did expect a closer game.
Me too.
Than what we had.
Yeah. I mean, I saw Carroll against Augustana earlier in the season, and that really, you know, was a one-score win against a team that perhaps we should have beaten on the road. Excuse me, Wheaton against Augustana, and it was the week before we played Augustana, and it was really... you know, Wheaton did their job in winning, but it had more to do with the quarterback's inability for Augustana to hit players downfield, especially in deep passes. And so I really thought that we had a good shot against Wheaton, given how, you know, the fact that we could have and should have won at Augustana. And so in a big part, you know, two early red zone drives were forced to field goals. That hurt. And final stats here, Greg. Well, obviously the one that hurts the most, 52-6 in favor of Wheaton. 24 first downs to Wheaton versus 9 for Carroll. Rushing yards, 34 for 155 versus 31 for 105, so not too bad there. Passing yards, net, 276 for Wheaton versus 78 versus Carroll. And Wheaton was successful on 22 out of 28 passes, whereas Carroll was 7 for 18. Total offensive plays and yards, 62 for Carroll, 431 total yards, versus 49 for Carroll, 483 total yards. Punt return yardage, 2 for Wheaton for 16, 1 for Carroll for 0. Kickoff return yardage, 3 for Wheaton for 52 yards versus 6 for 107 for Carroll. A little promising there. Punts, 4 for 34 for Wheaton. Average, that is. And Carroll, 7 for 42 average. Fumbles lost. Carroll fumbled it twice, didn't lose any. Or excuse me, Wheaton did. Carroll fumbled it three times and lost twice. Penalties, 7 for Wheaton for 50, 4 for Carroll for 45. Let's see. Time of possession, though, 32-31 for Wheaton versus 27-29 for Carroll. Third down conversions. This perhaps is the biggest circle here, Greg. Wheaton 7 of 12, Carroll 1 of 12. So, you know, that right there, you know, that hurts. So, Mikey Coleman had 101 yards, and so good day for him.
Good to see.
Yeah. Yep. So, Nick Lagnioli had 32 yards and 6 carries. Mikey Coleman had 14 carries, so 7.1 average, and he broke one for 43 yards today. So, but you look over on the Wheaton side, Giovanni Weeks, 20 carries for 123 yards, one touchdown. His longest was 19 yards. Trent Gabriel, 4 for 23, 23 yards, yep, his longest was 7-yarder. Henry Brown, 3 for 11. Ben Juska, the tight end, got a carry for only 1 yard. Receiving, though, the big stat, Caleb Tetherington having a big game. Let's see, 12 attempts, 8 receptions for 167 yards, 16 yards, 37 yards after catch, and 5 TDs. His longest being 27 yards. And Carroll players now coming out of the locker room, I think, to greet the families. But,
yeah,
you know, I heard Dean on the live stream saying Tetherington is only a sophomore, so he's gonna haunt the CCIW for the next couple years.
A force to be reckoned with for sure.
Sure is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what does Carroll do done now? They lick their wounds, you know? They do get a few days off. I think Coach Buddha is giving them.
That's good, yeah. And they travel to Carthage next week, if I have the schedule correct here.
Right, right.
Let me double check this. Yeah, we'll go down. We have our road game at Carthage on the 28th. And then on the 4th is our final home game, Senior Day against Milliken. You know, those are, you hate to say winnable games, but there are our winnable conference games, and then the big game to really move the needle to get that 7th win that Coach Buddha was hoping to get, hoping to get his 8th win, but Washington U. And supposedly, you know, Washington U is a team that we lost to, I think, on the last play. It was a heartbreak, and all indications are Washington U is more beatable this year than next year, than they were last year, and that would be a you know, moving the needle on the program if we can get that 7th win after 2 6-win seasons. So, you know, still a lot for Carroll to hang their hat on here as this program in development. And, again, in spite of a tough start, if they'd had a better start in that first half, you know, might have been a closer, you know, might have been a different scenario. But, you know, that forced fumble, that turnover on the very first play of the game, that easy touchdown to Tetherington like 3 plays later by Wheaton, and in spite of that, we hung with them. We stayed with them, and
yep,
a couple impressive drives end up in field goals. Perhaps, you know, we're missed touchdown opportunities. But, you know, that kick that, you know, Lauren kicked it hard, and he kicked it low, but it hit an up man. And funny, as hard as that ball went, it just died, you know. Like, I couldn't believe, you know, usually a ball roll, it died like a baseball dies. But you would have figured that
no
football would have bounced, and we could have recovered it. But,
yeah.
It just, you know, so now you're starting at your own 50-yard line, and so it's like, hey, don't do me any favors, you know. And so that hurt us a lot, especially that we weren't able to have an answer after that first touchdown, making it 14-6. If we could have come back, even just got a field goal on the next drive, I think that would have made a difference. But and Wheaton proved they could hurt you in a lot of different directions, you know, running, passing deep, but even those underneath plays, those out patterns were executed brilliantly. And I think those are things that we can do. Raby's got the arm for, and I think there's on all these long balls to Eichstadt, you'd wish that they would have him maybe do a button hook and have him come back for a couple, with knowing how heavy the coverage is.
Yeah,
his yards after catch are positive, and like let's just—it's like what Coach Buddha says: like let's take what the defense gives you. And they weren't really giving Austin or any of our receivers a lot of the deep balls, and so it's like let's.
Austin Eichstadt has to get his groove back, you know, next week, hopefully.
Well, and he did a good job. Like I said, he was under excellent coverage today. And so there was really, you know, again, there was an interference call that we believe was a, was no doubt a missed call, but, you know, you can't hang your hat on that. But, you know, that led to a sack at the one-yard line on the very next play. And yeah, you can't let the officiating, you know, bring you down like that, so you can't blame the officials, you know, entirely. But, you know, we were expecting a different outcome here, at least a closer game, and it just, yeah, we couldn't. Credit to Wheaton. They came to dance. They left it all on the field. And that defense was swarming, and that offense had a lot of good, a lot of different weapons. And as good as Tetherington is, that Bongo was also very capable of making big plays. And then the tight end Jessica was a factor, and Giovanni Weeks, really tough runner.
Yeah. So
big, 6 feet, 205-pound, you know, frame, and great blocking too. You know, that definitely Wheaton's line controlled the game today.
Right.
So we didn't, you know, we leave the field with one sack after eight sacks, you know, the previous week. And so, you know, some great coaching moments, a lot of learning to do. But, you know, like it's like you said, we live to fight another day. We've got three games left and a chance to move the needle on getting that seventh win. I think that's still an important goal for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be a great way to end the season if you can win three in a row.
Yeah.
So, but first, for sure, taking care of business next week at Carthage. And keeping that. Mike, it's the old musket we're playing for, right, down at Carthage? Is that what they call it?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. By the way, we're testing Mike there. He's new to the program, so we had to give him a little. the dean knows being an alumnus, right?
Yeah.
And are they playing for the old musket next week to keep the musket? I've seen it in Coach Buda's office. I think it's called the old musket.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah. It's back there. You'll see it. So ask Coach Buda to show you. So, no, the donut bowl's the best, donut. Man. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we got to go in and touch that.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So, well, Don, it was definitely a learning game.
Yeah.
It was a good game. I will.
Good first half, anyway.
Yeah. So, I will next see you on. On
2 weeks,
fourth.
Yeah, senior day
so
against
senior
Milliken.
Day against Milliken. So.
Coach Buda's former employer.
Yep.
So congrats to Wheaton, visiting Wheaton, number 13th in the nation, on a convincing 52-6 victory over our Pios. Join us next week as we travel to Kenosha for the old Musket game against Carthage. Same covered pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 1. And for Greg Weinschneider and Don Brown, again, final score, Wheaton defeats Carroll 52-6. For Don Brown and Greg Triple G Weinschneider, thanks for joining us. Please remember safety is everyone's responsibility. And
see to the patients wherever they feel most comfortable. And I think one of the great things about that is we really think about things from how do we meet people where they're at. And I feel like this is one of the major ways we are able to do so and to help reduce things around chronic stress and improve birth outcomes for our Black birthing patients. And then of course, that's that life, you know, that lifespan perspective. And so we know if the birthing patient is good, more than likely we'll have a positive outcome for our Black baby as well.
Thanks
and then of course, that's
that
life, you know, that lifespan perspective. And so we know if the birthing patient is good, more than likely we'll have a positive outcome for our Black baby as well. And then of course, that's that life, you know, that lifespan perspective. And so we know if the birthing patient is good, more than likely
we'll work to prepare for the conversation today. You all are doing this at all levels of UW.
Yes.
Right. I mean, from the family medicine provider, I think there's a pilot they're working on with Quick Trip, maybe to figure out how to get easy access to fruits, to Connect Rx, to funding.
Yes, right.
I mean, from the family medicine provider, I think there's a pilot they're working on with Quick Trip, maybe to,
you know, just as you think
figure out how to get
person,
easy access to fruits, to Connect Rx, to funding.
I mean,
from the family medicine provider, I think there's a pilot they're working on with Quick Trip, maybe to
just as you
figure out how to get easy access to fruits, to Connect Rx, to funding. I mean, excellent examples of collaboration and innovative thinking to really create some meaningful solutions for this important. I think about some of the key takeaways of this. I think that they not only apply to this initiative, but could be used more broadly as we think about tackling lots of other issues, right? Like the first place to start is, you know, what's already in our communities? How are we working with those assets and resources and not fighting against them, but elevating them and amplifying them and learning the true personal needs of each individual and community that we're serving? So that's one thing that I'm going to take away. I think the other is to use creativity. Patty, thanks for highlighting that gift of time to pause. You all are so busy. I can't even imagine what it took to get you all on the schedule today. So we thank you for that. But to pause and have that time for creativity, I think about that and how we all need to tackle problems. We're better when we can use those creative juices instead of operating from that place of scarcity that tragically many of the people that need this are working from a place of scarcity. So that's important. And then obviously collaboration. It's clear that each of you are no strangers to one another, but certainly if I had the 6 degrees of separation game, I'm sure it would multiply out by many factors by the passion that you each bring to your roles. And, you know, I think that we're just very, very fortunate to have you all working towards these challenges. And I know with you all at the helm, we're going to be successful. So I just want to thank you all today for your time. I want to thank all of the folks that were able to join us live and for those who will be able to watch this replay. It's just been a pleasure to guide this conversation and to hopefully be a small part of addressing rural hunger across Wisconsin. So with that, I want to wish you all a wonderful day and thank you so much for your time.
This is a special broadcast of the 7th Annual Cap Times Idea Fest, which returns September 17th, 2023 to Madison with leaders from government, business, education, social justice, and culture. The theme focused on how we reckon with the change brought on by the pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement, and other forces. Civic Media proudly partnered with Idea Fest and now presents segments of this year's gathering edited gently for time. In this session, Paul Fanland, editor and publisher of the Capital Times, introduces the topic of second chances, such as the reinstatement of federal Pell Grant eligibility for incarcerated people, with a focus on urgently needed community support and reforms for higher education in prisons. With moderator Molly Lasagna, Ascendium Senior Program Officer for Education Grantmaking.
Good evening, everybody. It's great to see all of you here. I'm Paul Fanland, the publisher of the Capital Times, and we're just delighted to be here in South Madison for this session, which is part of our 7th annual Cap Times Idea Fest. This is the second year we've been at this venue, Madison College's Goodman South Campus, and Dr. Jack Daniels is here tonight. We'd like to thank him for last year and for this year as well for hosting us. Tonight's session is, as I was talking with the panelists before, not only important, but is especially timely, as you'll hear. I need to thank our many sponsors, starting with Ascendium Education Group, which designed tonight's session and is its sponsor. So thank you to Ascendium for putting this on. I'll go through a long list of sponsors, just to touch on them. Our presenting sponsor for the entire event is Epic Systems, again this year, for which we're very grateful. Our major sponsors are HealthX Ventures and Exact Sciences. Other sponsors include Madison Gas and Electric, Alliant Energy, University of Wisconsin-Madison, Godfrey Kahn Law, Hessenix, the University Research Park, the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation, Cargo Coffee, Leopold's Books, Bar, Cafe, Madison College, the aforementioned, and Forward Theater, and finally, Youngblood Beer Company. Our partners include the Wisconsin State Journal, Madison.com, and Civic Media. Just a quick word about the Capital Times. When you think of the Capital Times, we hope you think of excellent local independent journalism, news coverage, and we hope you also think of our informed progressive opinion, but I hope you also think of our EVU Foundation. Our foundation has made a major record, established a major record over the last 50 years, supporting bricks and mortar project like this building and the Black Business Hub nearby and other buildings in South Madison, and also has supported programs throughout South Madison, throughout the community for a long time. So, on to tonight's program. This year's reinstatement of federal Pell Grant eligibility for incarcerated people is a major step towards equity and access to higher education. The focus of tonight's conversation is on two questions. What role can community-based organizations play in strengthening supports for individuals reentering their communities? And two, given Pell Grant reinstatement, what reforms are most urgent for higher education in prisons? Our moderator tonight is Molly Lasagna, Ascendium Senior Program Officer for Education Grant Making. And instead of me double introducing the panel, I'm just going to turn it over to Molly so she can take it from here and have the folks introduce themselves. Again, thank you so much for coming out tonight. Thank you.
I'm Molly Lasagna. I'm a senior program officer at Ascendium. If you've not heard of Ascendium before, we are a post-secondary education funder, and we fund really at the heart in upward mobility for learners from low-income backgrounds. That looks like a lot of different things at Ascendium, but one of the things that it looks like is an investment in incarcerated adults who are working towards post-secondary success. And I say post-secondary success because I think one of the things to say, and one of the things that we're going to talk about tonight on the panel, is what that success looks like for this population of students, right? So are we talking about degree completion? Are we talking about meaningful employment? Are we talking about economic mobility? Are we talking about creating generational wealth for their own families and communities, right? It's a whole ecosystem of success that we want to push ourselves to think about when we think about this population of students. So part of the reason that we're here tonight to have this conversation with this incredible panel, and I'm going to try to talk as little as possible, because we have an unbelievable array of wisdom on the panel tonight, folks who represent all kinds of different inputs into that ecosystem of success or incarcerated individuals, currently and formerly incarcerated individuals. So I don't want to take up any more air space than I need to. I will just say one thing quickly before I turn it over to the panel. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask each member of the panel to introduce themselves, tell us a little bit about their work, tell us a little bit about, like I said, sort of how they are, which star in that constellation of supports they represent for incarcerated students, currently and formerly incarcerated folks. So I'll ask them to do that, each of them. And then I've got a couple of kind of big guiding questions with which Paul teed up at the beginning. But then we'd really love to open it up to questions.
You're listening to a special broadcast of portions of the annual Cap Times Idea Fest, which returns September 17th, 2023 to Madison. Moderator Molly Lasagna, Ascendium's Senior Program Officer for Education Grant Making, continues with community leaders about community support and reforms for higher education in prisons.
Well, good evening, and thank you all for coming out tonight. I'm Ruben Anthony, the President and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Madison. The Urban League of Greater Madison is one of the oldest civil rights organizations in the nation. We've been around since 1910. Here in Madison, we've been around since 1968. So we do a host of things which will come out even more during our discussion. But I come to this discussion recognizing that the Urban League of Greater Madison is only one part of the ecosystem of supportive services that are necessary for allowing formerly incarcerated people to find their way back to useful lives in society. There are so many things needed to help them put their lives back together that it requires all of us working together. And this discussion today is, you'll see that many of us are doing different aspects in this ecosystem. Depending on when one is incarcerated, the society that they are returning to can be much different than it was when they went in. Some people went in before the internet. Some people went in before social media. Some people went in before cell phones. So when they come out, it's a changed society. So they really need a lot of adjustment. Sometimes their families have moved on and have different lives. They have fallen behind in child support, so they need help with those types of things. They need assistance reuniting with their families. The prison systems today often send formerly incarcerated people back into society, not with 21st century skills. Most of the time, they need to update their skills. Many of the times when they go into the workplace, we need to ban the box. We need to stop asking questions about incarceration and give them a fair shot. They will need housing, and we need landlords to be fair. Many of them may have to go into restricted spaces. Regardless of their background, they need housing and they need our support. Many will need spiritual, social, and psychological support. They may need access to different therapies. They may need a second chance to get reintegrated back into society. It is to their benefit and our benefits that we help them integrate back into society. If we don't, they may be forced into conditions that may cause them to reoffend because of houselessness, or they may turn to drugs, or maybe they may turn to alcohol. As a service provider, we must continue to talk about how we can work together to help them transform their lives for the betterment of society. It is all about giving people a second chance in this life, and so we'll talk some about that today on this panel. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Anthony. You touched on so many incredibly important and meaningful pieces of this conversation, and I'm excited to continue to flesh out what we mean when we talk about this sort of ecosystem of support for this population of students. And a few minutes later in the panel, we'll talk a little bit more specifically about what it really looks like from a higher ed perspective, right? So we'll talk a little bit about the ban on Pell Grants and the return of Pell Grants for incarcerated students. But I think important to start with remarks from Dr. Anthony and from this sort of larger perspective on, because we know, one thing we know about higher ed in prison, and I think anybody on this panel who's been in a classroom in a prison will tell you this, is that it's much more than just those textbooks in those classrooms, right? There's a lot more going on in these programs to really help folks have a second chance at success, right? In some cases, a first chance at success, like, let's be honest.
Hey, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for this panel and this wonderful topic of discussion. My name is Dr. Kimani Alford. I am the Associate Vice President of Madison College, Associate Vice President of Student Access and Success at Madison College. Let's clear that up. So I've been in higher education probably about 23, 24 years. I began my journey in Milwaukee. And during that time, I was surrounded by many individuals in the sense that were looking for a second chance at life, that were experiencing life, different challenges, different situations, different decisions that landed them in different journeys or on different journeys. While at Madison College in 2019, the opportunity to participate in the Second Chance Pell program arose. And at that time, we were really looking at ways to diversify our mission and really attach ourselves to meaningful initiatives and meaningful strategies that will really transform lives. And at that time, I ran to our president and was like, hey, Dr. Daniels, here's an opportunity for us to do X, Y, and Z. And it became a passion for me. It was one that we had knew of. That was occurring within higher education, but it was one that we wasn't partaking in. So when the opportunity to participate and submit in a proposal specifically to the Department of Education to participate was one that we couldn't turn down. So we went through all of the different processes that the Department of Ed required and submitted the proposal. And in 2020, we became one of the institutions, actually the only institution that was selected in the state of Wisconsin to participate in the second round of the Second Chance Pell program. No. Yeah, sorry, Peter. So during that particular time, it's allowed us really to be engulfed in this landscape and really understanding the impact that prison education has on students and being able to transform lives, being able to create an opportunity for sustainability once those that are incarcerated basically are released out into basically society. So it connects us as far as to our passion overall. And it reminds me of the first time I attended one of our graduations for prison.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I always like to go back to what Tom Cruise said. Just take a walk.
That's where you get your advice.
Well, don't you remember that long time ago? Brooke Shields talked about postpartum depression going on medication. He's like, you should just go for a walk around the block.
That's so like a man.
More great words from men.
There's a segment right there, Greg.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Saturdays and Sundays.
And want to better themselves and say, hey, my life isn't wasted because of a decision that happened in the past. So I'm very, very happy and excited to be with you on today and to be able to share my insight in relation to this topic.
This is a recorded session of the annual Cap Times Idea Fest, held the week beginning September 17th, 2023, in Madison. More to come after these messages.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media.